Today is the fourth sermon in a series on prayer, and the title for this morning is Prayer, the Way to Find God. I'll continue in this series in 2 weeks on July the 7th, and that will also be the Sunday we celebrate our nation's independence and worship through references I'll make in the message, and I'm sure perhaps with a song or two. The scripture reading for this morning comes from the Old Testament. It is from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 29, and I'll be reading some selected verses. I should have sent these to Mark during the week, but I'm so that they're right on the screen, but usually he's right on, so we'll see if it comes together. But it's some selected verses, verse 1 in chapter 29, 4 to 8a, and then 10 to 13. And so listen as I read God's word to us this morning. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. And then jumping to verse 10, for thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, Jerusalem. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray with me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. Let us pray in silence as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, speak to each one of us, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. Our reading from Jeremiah this morning has some very promising words. You will find me when you seek me, if you seek me with all your heart. Those are comforting words and a great promise. Is it not shocking then that many people really never make a diligent effort to find God, to seek God? This story, the pastor and writer Bruce Larson, he tells the story of a neighbor who became a very good friend of his. This neighbor, he was what every neighbor you hope to be. He was kind, he was dependable, he was ethical, and he was a good citizen in his community. And since both of them lived on the coast in Florida, his neighbor, this good friend of his, taught him how to sail a sailboat. But the man was also a determined atheist. Reverend Larson said to him, Larry, we're good friends. I can say this to you, but what will happen when you die and you discover, as I have shared with you, that there is a God who loves you very much? And his friend replied, what will I do? Well, even if I find that I have been wrong all these years and there is a God, I will go to my eternity in unbelief. I am too honorable to plead with God to take me in at the last minute. And while that's a sad story, you almost have to admire the man for the consistency and the honesty in his unbelief. But the sad truth is that many do not seek to know God. That's the truth of it. Malcolm Muggeridge is a favorite of mine. He's an English journalist, and he served in the last century in the British Parliament. And he said it this way. He has a number of good quotes. But he said this: "It is often supposed that when people stop believing in God, they believe in nothing. But it's far worse than that. It is when they stop believing in God, they stop believing everything else. They believe in anything." To those who seek God, there is this great promise from Jeremiah that if we seek Him earnestly, and if we seek Him with our whole heart, we will certainly find Him. That's a good promise. When Jeremiah wrote these words, you have to remember the context. He was writing to people who had been conquered by this invading Babylonian army. Jerusalem was in ruins. Their temple had been torn down. Their city had been ransacked. And the spoils of war had been divided among the attackers. They had faced each day at one time in optimism, and now the people of Israel faced each day in dread and in anxiety. And it was into this context, in that troubled time of existence, that Jeremiah gave these words of encouragement as a prophet of God. It's helpful to understand that context. He said, be prepared for the long stay. And he gave them a series of instructions. Go ahead and build your houses while you're in exile. Raise your children. Let your children be married and become good citizens where you are. For the welfare of the city you live in will be your own welfare. Be faithful to God while you're in exile. And remember, God keeps God's promises. And then that last promise, one day you will come home again. It was helpful, strengthening, and an encouraging word of hope that Jeremiah wrote to those people in exile. And I want for us for today to look together at this question. What leads us to God anyway? What leads you and me to God? And so note with me this morning that we will find God when we first acknowledge that we have our total dependency upon our Creator and Maker, upon God. All that we are and all that we have and all that we will be comes from God. We are totally dependent upon God. And so seeking God and finding God is determined by affirming that dependency upon Him. The people of God living in exile, to which Jeremiah wrote, they had a feeling of dependence in abundance. They were cut off from their homeland, from all that was near and dear to them. They had that feeling of dependence, and it's that feeling of dependence, that sense of dependence, and that's one of the things that brings us closer to God. Do you have that sense of dependence upon God? Is God your steering wheel, as we said last week, or is God your spare tire? As Americans, we are raised and have this sort of strong sense of independence about us, this feeling of I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And I believe that we find it difficult oftentimes to admit that we have needs. We live in a land of historic abundance and prosperity, and we take pride in that independence. We have almost everything that we need. The context for us is different than the context to which Jeremiah wrote to the people in exile who had lost everything. We have almost everything we need, but what we need the most is that sense of dependence, and that's the first step and how to find God, that sense of dependency. Somewhere I found these words: a prayer to be said when the world has gotten you down and you feel rotten and you feel too tired to pray and you were in a big hurry, and besides all that, you are mad at everybody, the prayer to be said at that time is one word: help. Help. That's a good prayer. Help. In all times and in all places, it is the beginning of the path to find God, to admit that you need help. It is the law of life and the law of faith. All of us need help. No person is an island. Some of you know I traveled a few days to Tennessee this week to visit my younger brother Danny, who I mentioned last week. He was in the hospital recovering from sepsis, a terrible blood infection. And about 10 days ago, he had to be placed on a ventilator. And when I arrived, he was still on that ventilator, giving him the very breath that he needed for life. And in the short time I was there, they finally took him off that ventilator. And as one who has endured paralysis for 25 years as a quadriplegic from a spinal cord injury, he this week was the supreme example of dependency, the epitome of it. He was dependent upon the doctors and the nurses for everything, all of his nutrition, his oxygen level, keeping his blood pressure elevated with medicine. His loving wife, Holly, was by his side, and with that ventilator down his throat, he could not speak, but she stood there by his bed with a handmade alphabet on the back of a piece of paper, and he would point at the letters to form words to be able to communicate what he needed. And we played the charades for a long time doing that. He is slowly improving. Believe it or not, he's scheduled to go home Monday. But he is dependent. And the point is, all of us are. No one is immune from that. We are dependent. And the path to find God is to first to acknowledge our dependency upon God alone. No basketball team, hockey, baseball, football, soccer team. I could go on and on mentioning teams. None of them can win a single game without multiple substitutions. No team ultimately wins a championship that does not have dependable strength sitting on the bench or the dugout. Teachers have substitutes. Those teachers here, I know you're glad that you have a substitute. Police officers often travel in pairs. And the police officers often, when there's trouble, they call for backup when trouble comes. Dependency. It's the foundation for all of life. And I'm arguing this morning it's the foundation of faith in finding God, to be dependent and to affirm that. I walk up in front of you every Sunday in this pulpit to stand alone here before you and before God as a fellow struggler in life and in faith. And I'm also a great debtor to you. I'm indebted to all of you for being here regularly in worship, to be faithful in worship, to invite others to come in worship. And to those I'm also indebted to who assist in our great music, and to many other staff and volunteers who do literally hundreds of things that we often forget about, to have three services on a Sunday morning. They do things all week long to have these services. The path for seeking God is an awareness of dependence on Him and giving God all praise and glory, Sunday after Sunday, for His promises. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. What a promise. You will find Him if you seek Him. How can we then become more aware of our dependence upon God? Well, one way we can do that is by looking at ourselves. And if you look at yourself, try looking at yourself, one of the things you discover quickly are your shortcomings. You may find the need to change some bad habits that you practice, which keep us from a more vital life and a vital faith. Charles Dickens, he said it this way. I like this. He said, "We forge the very chains that bind us. It's true. We forge the very chains that bind us. Sometimes in the last century, there was a prominent physician who was examining an older adult. And after checking him over and listening to all the vague symptoms of his illness, the physician finally concluded that the problem was likely due to an emotional or spiritual need. And he knew he needed to get the man outside of himself and stop focusing on himself, to focus outwardly, beyond himself. And so he said to the man, because he knew the most famous clown was in town that night, Grimaldi. And the doctor recommended that it would be great if this patient went to see Grimaldi that evening, because he would draw him out of himself and help him feel better. And a look of distress came across that patient's face, because he said to the physician, "You do not understand. I am Joey Grimaldi the clown." And it was Joey Grimaldi who made famous the white face that now every clown uses. I am Joey Grimaldi. A close look at ourselves, it enlightens us of our own brokenness, our own sin, of evil that lurks within us, waiting to get out, if not disciplined. We need God in successes. We need God in our happiness. We also need God in heartbreak and trouble. But oftentimes we tend to think of God as a very present help in times of trouble and scarcely acknowledge God when things are going well and in a time of prosperity. The fact of the matter is, we need God most of all when we are successful, lest we think we have no need of Him. The culture around us, our American culture especially, it conditions us to this reality that we have no needs, and we can just keep going along with the culture in a time of abundance with no needs. But remember, it is the fish that swim with the current which are dead. We are called as people of faith to swim against the current, the currents which would lead us away from dependency upon God. And there are many currents that would cause us to do that. I think it's a battle every day to acknowledge that dependence upon God. Well, secondly, the way to find God continues after we have that strong sense of dependency. It continues with a sense of devotion, a sense of devotion. The people of Israel in our passage, they were told to dig in and plan for the long stay. And then the instructions Jeremiah gave them: plant your vineyards, build your homes, marry and have children and grandchildren, be good citizens and seek the welfare of the cities in which I have sent you. In other words, they were called by God not to just dwindle away in exile for the 70 years they would be there. And so are we. We are called not to just dwindle away. This is a timely word for us in our day and time, for us and our children, because in this day and time we see more people, do we not, looking down than up. I can't tell you how many times I will go into a room somewhere, someplace, and no one says hello for looking down. We have a tendency in our culture to look down and not up and not to others. We need to acknowledge our dependency not only upon God, but on the community and the friends which we have. We also live in a throwaway society. Our packaging, all of it's disposable. We have more recycling in our house than we have anything else. And the next step from having packaging that is disposable is to begin to think that relationships and people are the same. And they're not. We are often not conditioned to call on others for help. We're not conditioned for the long haul of keeping commitments nowadays. And yet we need to be. We need to be. Everything worth having requires devotion, and it requires hard work. It's true in marriage. It's true in work. It's true in relationships. And it's true in this church. It is from devotion and prayer and financial commitments that you make here that has made this church strong as it is for the present. And if that continues, it will be strong for the future. But there is a lot of work ahead. The path to find God, it requires continual devotion. Johann Sebastian Bach, he was one of the great musicians of all time, and he was also a church musician. Sometimes people forget that. In the churches that Bach served, he was required to produce an endless stream of original music, which would be used in the Sunday services, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Imagine what genius it took under that kind of pressure to produce such beautiful music that he produced every single week. And if you study his life, what you find is, on top of every manuscript, he wrote the initials JJ, Jesu Juvet, which translated from Latin simply means, Jesus, help me. And then on the bottom of every manuscript, after he had finished writing it, he would write the initials SDJ, Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. And here's the point. Write those initials, all of them, on the pages and the days of your life. Jesus, help me. And to God be the glory. And you will find God, no doubt, if you live that way. Devotion means that we are doing something for Him. What are you doing for Him? What are you doing? So we find God out of a sense of growing dependence. And it continues when we practice devotion. Devotion to God. And thirdly, it is confirmed finding God when we trust God with our lives. I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And then Jeremiah wrote, I will bring you home again. It's a beautiful promise. Those are beautiful words. I encourage you to read the book of Jeremiah. It's a beautiful story. How hard it would be for them to be surrounded by that Babylonian army, cut off from their native land. And yet Jeremiah calls them to trust and to keep the faith. And I would ask you to do that this morning in this time of abundance and prosperity in our nation, to claim your dependence again upon God, and to practice devotion and to trust Him. That's how we find God in those ways. We trust even when we cannot understand. We trust even when we cannot see the way ahead. I close with this. The Spanish mystic Saint John of the Cross, he discovered the secret of trusting in his life, and he shared it. And this is what he wrote. The soul makes the greatest progress when it least thinks so. The soul makes its greatest progress when it travels in the dark, not knowing the way. Friends, trust and pray. Trust and depend upon God. Trust and to be devoted to Him. For that is the path to find Him. If you do that with all your heart, let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, help us to acknowledge our dependence upon You. And help us to seek You every day of our lives. In Christ's name, amen.